We're trying to define what is normal. Part of that is everyone's trying to figure it out. A lot of good leaders are today ready, but what are they doing for the next 5-10 years? A lot of them talk about saying my teams need to be, and I challenge that. I actually turn around and say you need to be first. The hashtag future ready is trending a lot nowadays. A lot of the changes that have happened since the pandemic actually started before the pandemic. The pandemic is the first time that we've had so many managers and leaders visit the homes and the bedrooms of the employees without it becoming a HR case.
Do you fear becoming irrelevant or outdated in today's fast-paced workspace? For this episode, I'm speaking to Vinay Kumar, an organizational development consultant and a certified professional facilitator. We talked about the 3 strategies to help you be future ready, how we have forgotten what the pandemic taught us, and what job security means today. If you're questioning your future at work, this episode is the need of the hour. But before we begin, make sure to hit that subscribe button. In your opinion, what do you think has changed since the pandemic at the workplace?
A lot of the changes that have happened since the pandemic actually started before the pandemic, right? It's just that they got accelerated because of the pandemic. I'll give you an example. A lot of organizations were already struggling with burnout of employees, with people struggling with work-life balance. And with the pandemic, it just made that front and center. And now we have well-being, mental health, all of these conversations that have become so critical for leaders to have. I personally, you know, I'm okay to give the pandemic credit for all of that, but we need to recognize that those conversations had just started maybe before the pandemic. And so one is the focus on well-being. The second is the focus on purpose. A lot of people woke up and say, what am I doing, right? When we got locked down all over the world, everyone sat at home for 3 months, 6 months, whatever might be the duration. And people went, what are we doing here? So everyone revisited the purpose in life, the meaning in life. We looked at all the things we had in our homes and suddenly realized, many of us, how materialistic have we become? Do we really need that stuff? So there's been a rationalization of thinking about person's purpose. That's the second. The third one I would say is how we engage with our employees for leaders. I had an HR person once tell me midway through the pandemic, and she said to me that the pandemic is the first time that we've had so many managers and leaders visit the homes and the bedrooms of the employees without it becoming a HR case, right? We got to connect with the employees in their homes, with their family members, be it on any media platform. So the concept of personal connection and engagement just went through the roof. So, and that I hope continues, though I'm seeing that sort of diminish back now that we're going back to the office. So I would say those are the 3 things that have changed.
So a lot of people during the pandemic, they started questioning their priorities. So right. It was a moment for reflection, right? And also, as you mentioned, leaders started, they had to connect at a deeper level with the with their employees. That's very interesting. And when you look now at the workplace, what frustrates you the most?
How we have forgotten the lessons of the pandemic, right? Now, all of a sudden, companies are struggling or I would say struggling to get employees to come back to the office. They say RTO. They're not really questioning productivity, efficiency, output. They're not able to explain to the employees, why do we need you back in the office? Or can we go to a more hybrid workplace? That degree of connection between the leaders and the employees, like I said earlier, is slowly diminishing. I think that frustrates me. We learned amazing things, but we're forgetting them very quickly.
And why do you think that is happening?
Many reasons. One is we have a bunch of leaders who say, the good old days before the pandemic, can we go back to that, right? there was a term that was used during the pandemic, the new normal. I'm not sure if we are in a new normal. We're fighting, we're trying to define what is normal. Part of that is everyone's trying to figure it out. Employees are recognizing it. Leaders are recognizing it. Organizations are recognizing it. Also, you have a whole bunch of employees who joined companies during the pandemic. So their connection with the culture, the physical infrastructure is very different. And they may not need it as much as we, the leaders, want them to have it.
So there's a disconnect between the leaders and also the employees. And in this process, what do you think is the biggest mistake that leaders are making?
Stopping listening, right? Stopping the conversation. It's they're rationalizing the decisions from a business perspective, forgetting that there's a whole emotional perspective beneath it. So that listening to the fears, the concerns, the emotional elements is probably not happening enough.
What do you think is going to be the impact of that in the future, if that continues?
Oh, the impact's already being felt, right? The impact is going to be more disengagement, you're going to have loyalty to organizations being tested. People are not going to feel as loyal to organizations anymore if the organizations don't listen. You're going to have a workforce that's going to be more vocal. You know, there's a lot of words that have come up since then, quiet quitting. Right now, there's a new one called loud quitting, which was quitting. Right? I don't know why we come up with these terminologies just to make. We like to put a frame of reference around it, but I think we'll see more and more of these trends popping up if leaders don't step back and say, "Hey, let's slow down here."
I read an article that was talking about job security.
Right.
And it was saying job security is not anymore working for the same company for a long time, but it's about working on your skills so that you are always hireable.
Yeah.
Do you think job security is something of the past?
So there's two elements. There's job security and there's income security. Right. And what's happened is the job was the employer-employee relationship. But today you have the whole gig economy you can get a second income from. So what's a bigger narrative to what you just said is those that want to have careers, those want to have long-term, whether they work in company X, Y, or Z, or are valued as a gig worker, they have to be future-ready. And that's the big piece. The hashtag future ready is trending a lot nowadays in the professional workplace. It's not just thinking about today, thinking about what the next 5-10 years is going to look like.
What do you mean about future ready?
Future ready really means, are we going to have a place for adding value as a professional? Mm-hmm. 5 years, 10 years, 15 years down the road. And what are we doing to be able to add value? It can no longer be doing what we're doing today because the world is being disrupted very well. So that's really what it means. And there's two or three things that one can do to become future ready.
So before getting into the three things, maybe do you have an example of someone that you work with that realize it was he or she was not future ready?
So I was coaching this leader because he was struggling to stay on top of the changes his organization was going through. And this started about 5 years ago when I started working with him. He's in the supply chain space. And this was his organization was doing a lot more automation. Right, they had done ERP system, but they were bringing a lot of this stuff. And he was always struggling because the processes he had established in that company for 10, 15 years were working well. And he didn't stay with the times. He did not work hard, hard at staying on top of the technological changes. He was very good in the supply chain aspect, but not the technology that was impacting it. And about 6 months ago, when I was having a conversation with him, he's seeing much younger, hungrier employees taking roles, bringing in, now they're bringing in AI into the work. And he's just sitting there going, people told me about all of this stuff 5 years ago. I wish I had invested a little bit of time. Now I'm playing catch up. And he's so far behind that he realizes that he should have started this journey 5 years ago. And he's actually looking at early retirement now because he says, you know, I'm struggling. I don't know if I can do it. And that's where our coaching conversations are really going with him, is what can he do to step up? There is a time and space. It's never too late, but sometimes you can leave it too late. So he's an example for me who's realized that he could have started working and becoming future ready 5 years ago. And today he's struggling now.
Do you think there's many people in that situation?
Oh, I'm sure there are. And if they may have caught up till today, but my challenge to many of them who are what I call today ready is, are you making yourself future ready? Mm. A lot of good leaders are today ready, are ready to deal with the issues, situations and issues today. But what are they doing for the next 5-10 years? Mm. Right? To give themselves not just job security, a role security, an impact security. Yeah.
I like what you mentioned before, which is there's the younger generation coming. Well, of course, they come with a lot of energy and also more tech savvy. And what do you think is going to be the impact at the workplace with the Generation Z coming to the workforce?
Well, you know, that impact is at a very simple level. The knowledge is ubiquitous today. You can go look it up. If I want to fix something, first thing I do is check on YouTube if there's a video for it. So this is a generation that is not, that can pick nuggets of knowledge and micro learning pieces everywhere. So it's no longer the knowledge dividend that my generation had, saying we are experts in something. So they can pick that up. Their advantage is not just the ability to pick it up, but to apply it very quickly. So they'll try A, pick it up, apply. B, go, C. Whereas we tended to learn deeper, spend time, and then apply it. Which by then, the problem statement has changed in itself. So I think the impact is going to be they're much more learning agile than we are. And we need to learn that learning agility, which is going to be the most important skill. Right. I mean, I have kids, and you tell them anything, the first thing they'll do is they'll check online. They'll validate what I've just said to make sure. And they'll call it out. They'll say, Dad, you're wrong. Here's another perspective. And sometimes I have to look at it and say, okay, yeah. Maybe I didn't know everything. There's a new way of doing something here. They're much more eager to go and check. So the respect for pure experience that someone has is not as significant, but the way to apply that experience is where the value comes in. So that's where I would say the younger generation have an advantage.
So there's a gap, there's a difference between the younger generation and the older generation. How are leaders today handling that gap?
Some of them are doing really well by constantly investing in their own learning, by being surrounded by people, right? It doesn't have to be me learning, but also I can have some of the best and brightest mind around me. The leader does not need to be the smartest in the room, right? And be able to leverage those skills very, very well. The others are also, some others are very well being reverse mentored. There's no harm, you know, going to a 23-year-old and say, help me figure this out. And they will. So the ones that are open to being reverse mentored are going to be very successful. And there are others who are struggling. So we get a classical bell curve. There's a few who are really doing well, some trying and some struggling. And some are saying, you know, I had a leader once tell me his company's rolling out some ChatGPT and AI solutions, and he's in a very senior leadership role. He just signed off a budget to do this. And he and I were having a conversation. He said, they presented to me, made sense. Some of my other leaders in the room said, yeah, great idea. It's going to make a business impact. I was sitting there. I understood 60% of it, and 40% I had no clue what they were talking about. And all when I walked out that room, the first thing he realized, he's got 3 years to retire. So he called me and said, I'm so happy I've got 3 years to retire. I don't know if I want to invest. And my question to him is, what are you going to do after you retire? This is going to impact your life. One, right? So there's some who are saying, I'm done. When can I exit? You'll get all kinds.
Yeah, I think what I love about what you say is about, yeah, things are changing so fast today. So the critical skill for a leader is the learning agility.
Yeah.
But also to have the humility to accept that you don't know everything. And I think the reverse mentoring,
that is so huge. Critical. Yeah.
It's super, super important. And to be able to learn from a new generation that has maybe different skills from the older generation. So I like what you said about reverse mentoring.
Yeah, and honestly, it's not a new concept. Yeah. Every generation has been reverse mentored, usually at home. Right? Because the kids that'll fix the VCR in the old days, they learned it faster. The kids that'll fix the computers today, right? If something's going on, they'll figure it out. So parents were very comfortable being reverse mentored at home. And we didn't, again, frame it as reverse mentoring. But how do you institutionalize it? How do you bring it as a structure in a company and make that across all levels? That's been the challenge. Because there, hierarchically, you're supposed to know more. Right? So the big issue was, and organizations and leaders that do it well will get significantly rewarded.
Mm. Maybe do you have any example of also one of your clients that is doing it well in terms of being future ready?
It's actually someone I know professionally. I use him as an example quite a bit. I haven't worked with him, but I know him. I know many of the people who report to him. He's in his early 50s. He is somebody who is in the technology space, but very old school, constantly invests in learning about what's going on. And one thing that I've noticed about him, I see it in his LinkedIn profiles. He and I talk once in a while. He's attended this workshop. He's gone there to learn something about it. He went to this conference, and not as a panelist, but as an attendee and listening to others. And he makes loads of notes and goes back and talks to his team members and gets their input. He's surrounding himself with not just his work colleagues, but goes out in the industry and talks to others not related to technology and asking them, how are you being impacted by all of that stuff that's coming? So he's got an eye on what's going to happen, not just now, but he's creating this really nice knowledge base that's giving him an amazing point of view of where the business is going to be and where technology is going to be 3 to 5 years down the road. So he's someone that I respect for investing in being future ready. And more importantly than me, a lot of his colleagues tell me, even before we think it, he's already got an opinion about it and an idea around it. And when we ask him where he got it, he gives us, he was here, he was there. So he's just spending a lot of time in exposure, right? He's just soaking up knowledge, which I'm amazed he makes time for it.
And why do you think like leaders like him are doing and other leaders are not doing? Do you think it's something that it's born? It's something that it's you can work on it in order to have that openness to learn, that growth mindset?
Oh, that's a, you know, you're going down to, are you born with it? Or I think it's a skill that you learn. It's a mindset, yeah. Right? Like you said, it's a growth mindset. He's very, very clear. He's very clear with his purpose. He says, I want to create the next generation of leaders. Mm. So when I go, business, my company, whatever I've done, there's a whole bunch of leaders out there who I know are set. And I think he does it because he wants to role model it for them. Mm. So I'm not sure it's they're born with it. I personally believe it's something he worked hard at creating. If it was something you're born with, or you could find the genetic strand and probably create a chemical pill that people will pop and everyone will be doing it. Mm-hmm. I wish it worked so simple.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So rather than before it was about you need to know more than others, now you need to learn faster than others. Yes. I really, really like that. And what about yourself? How are you being future ready?
Oh, same thing. I mean, he's not just somebody who's, he's definitely a role model. I look at him. So I read a lot. I go to different forums that have got nothing to do with what I do. I'm trying to create a very wide network. So just as an example, a couple of days ago, I spoke to a friend of mine in Canada. He's in the med tech space, right? He's a doctor. He's doing a couple of things with startups. And he and I talk every once, a couple of times in a month. No, actually, it should be more. But we try and reach out so I can get more information from him on what's happening in his industry. I invest about an hour. And somebody was asking me, why are you doing that? Are you going into medtech? I said, I have nothing to do with medtech. But it's something that I'm getting great insight from, what's happening in the field of medicine. Similarly, I'm doing some really interesting conversations with people in the sustainability space, which is, again, not much linked to what I do day in, day out. So the more you read, the more you connect with people, the more you learn, you know the trends that are happening. Now, will I know everything? No. It's just that you start that journey as well. So that's, I think, I would do. Could do more of. And the other one is I try and attend courses online, face-to-face, in different areas as much as I can. Yeah. So I hope it's working. I don't know.
Yeah. I really like that. And even today... One is about understanding the trends, what's happening in your industry, but also understanding how other industries are solving problems, which can serve as an inspiration for our own businesses. And I really like that today, that being open and then understand what's happening in completely different industries that can give us insights to our own industry. That's a really, really good one.
Yeah, I
really
historically, like that. The core concept was go deep.
Yes.
Right? But today it's go broad, to go wider. There's this, the T-shaped, right? So you want to hang around on the top of the T. The more wider information you have, the better informed you will be.
Mm. So now maybe we can go into strategies. So what are, let's say, the three strategies that someone can implement in order to be future ready?
So we've kind of talked about it. The first one I would say is learning agility. Right? Be agile in learning and invest in your learning. And these are not necessarily in any particular order. The second one I would say is have a purpose. Purpose is what's the legacy you want to leave behind? What's your a true north, right? Why are we doing it? We started this conversation on job security. I think jobs are tactical, careers are strategic. So what's the legacy that you want to leave behind? That role model I gave you of someone future ready is very clear. He wants to create the next generation of leaders. So with that, he's trying to role model it for them. So have a purpose of what you want to accomplish. The third one is exposure. The more, so it's kind of linked to learning agility. Learning agility has to do with the speed of learning. Mm. Exposure has to do with the sources of learning. Mm. So the more you know across, the better it is. So don't get boxed into one industry or one sector. I would say those are the three.
Yeah. And what about leaders? How can leaders enable their teams to be future ready also?
That's a really good question. And a lot of them talk about saying my teams need to be. And I challenge that. I actually turn around and say, you need to be first. If you're not role modeling this, how can you go and insist on your teams and getting them to be? You don't have to role model it to the extent that they need to be, but you need to actually demonstrate the skills and the behaviors of doing that. So one is, if you are out there being exposed to different information, your team members will see it. Now when you go and tell them, hey, go out, they'll say, well, bosses, I better go as well, right? So I would say first is role model it. Second is institutionalize it, right? In create professional development budgets that don't solve just today's problems, that invest in, we don't know what the next decade's problems are, but go out and investigate. And the third is reward them. Reward and recognize it. So when people come in with ideas, you say, it's not going to work here. Just say, interesting idea, let's keep that there till maybe the timing is right, or let's look at how we can add to it, right? Mm-hmm. So I would probably say those are the three steps. Mm-hmm. Role model, build the budgets for it. And third is very simply reward and recognize people are doing it.
Mm. Yeah, like the example of the story that you gave before, that person that is of success, he goes everywhere. And of course, his team sees and gets inspired by it.
Right? Yeah, one thing I didn't mention is he actually now started to take people along with him.
Oh, nice.
So when he attends, he says, who wants to come? Before it was like, I have too much to do. I don't have time for this. Now hands go up and say, can I come? And then he gives everybody a chance.
Like, what do you think is a good question that people can ask themselves in order to be future ready?
So the first question I always say is, how much time are you spending on firefighting and bogged down in meeting today's challenges? Right, today's business challenges. If a leader is 90% focused on today, that gives them very little room to focus on the future. So the question is, where's my time investment going? If it's firefighting, fixing today's issue, looking at this quarter's P&L, looking at this year's P&L, you are pretty much a great leader for today. If you've got some bandwidth where you can invest in what's the business going to look like? What's my industry going to look like 3 years down the road? Do I have time for it? So that's the question they need to be asking. It's about time.
So it's about having a balance between what is happening today that you need to deliver today, but also at the same time thinking about the future and preparing for the future, right?
Mm. Yeah, to be future ready, you've got to have time for the future.
For the future, yeah.
Yeah, and that's why I said a lot of leaders are really good for today, maybe for the next 1 or 2 years. But 5 years down the road, the whole ecosystem will change. And are we ready for it? Do we even know how it's going to change? Right? I mean, a very, very simple, big global issue is climate change. Everyone knows it. We talk about it, the UN SDG goals, everything. How many leaders, if you ask them, how is it going to affect your industry 3 years down the road, 5 years down the road? They're all worried about getting an ESG rating for today. But what are they doing to make their organization They have policies that say we're going to be carbon neutral, we'll have all of this. Are the leaders really investing in that time and space? That's a simple question at a macro level that can hurt the whole global ecosystem.
Some leaders, there's so much going on for them. What is the smallest thing that a leader can do that can have a bigger impact for them to think about the future?
If it's not small, it's big, right? It's not the smallest thing. I would say today's challenges are not going to go away. They're going to be there. So the thing is, block off time for strategic thinking. Just simple. If it's X number of hours a week, put a discipline in that saying, these are hours I'm going to invest, not in today, but on learning for tomorrow. And the challenge is their time, as you said, they're so busy. They have suddenly the end of the year has come by and they say, oh my God, where did my time go? Right? They're going to be shocked as to how they got bogged down. There's a difference from, they have the intention, but the impact isn't there. So they have to quantify their intention in blocking their time.
Mm-hmm. I love it. It's a small one, but it has a big impact in themselves and in their organization. So, so good.
Yeah.
That's a great one. Good. Okay, we are coming to the end. Mm-hmm. And I have one more question, which is, people ask you a lot of questions, but what is one question that people don't ask you often and you would love to answer?
There's a couple, but I'll just pick one. Is what makes you passionate about this work, right? So for me, because they all know the work I do and they sort of know the journey I got into this. But very few people ask me, so what makes you keep doing it? And at the pace that I do it, I would say watching the light bulb moments over people's heads when you're having a conversation and they go, I got it. Just that one little piece. And that for me is part of the legacy I want to leave behind. It's that if I can make a professional's life 1% better, then if I had not met them or they had not met me, I've added 1% extra value, right? So it's just that little nudge that sometimes I end up giving, I enjoy giving, or they receive and they're open to receive. Not all of them are open to receive, right? So I think that's the one that I kind of, and I've had people reach out to me and said, I met you 6 years ago and you told me this one thing and this is, I've been working on it. And I'm like, wow, validation. So yeah, that's that little small successes that make me happy.
Very good. Okay, thank you for coming to the show.
Thank you, Rodrigo. It's been a pleasure.
I wish you continue for many years lighting bulb moments to your clients.
Thank you.
And thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.